Well, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful day in His house, in His presence. Please turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. An honor to share the word of the Lord with you today. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near. Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. A man sitting in his chariot, a man of great authority, a man of great responsibility. The Bible says that he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning home. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, an Ethiopian eunuch, a minister, and in fact the treasurer to Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, was on his way home after coming to Jerusalem to worship. The message paraphrase, the eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia. You know, it appears the man had a form of godliness. Why else would you travel to Jerusalem to worship? It seems the man had a heart for pilgrimage, evident in his venture. There are those of this nature, some level of understanding, some semblance of religion, and the effort. The effort is there, and the effort is afforded. This man came to Jerusalem to worship. However, this man was in need of understanding, knowledge, comprehension, grasp, depth. Verses 27 and 28, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Where did the man get the book? Did he acquire it in Jerusalem? Was it part of the pilgrim's package? Did he bring it along with him for journey reading? Did someone hand it to him in Jerusalem? A man returning from pilgrimage, a time of worship, and there he is, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah. The message, he was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. A man void of understanding, a man in need of understanding. This man puzzled by the text. He didn't know what or who the text was pointing to. A man named Philip. Philip was a kingdom man, a man of God, a man of ministry. Philip was preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. And the Bible records that people were being baptized, both men and women. They were attesting signs and great miracles taking place. Reading from the Message, previous to Philip's arrival, a certain Simon had practiced magic in the city, posing as a famous man and dazzling all the Samaritans with his wizardry. He had them all, from little children to old men, eating out of his hand. They all thought he had supernatural powers and called him the great wizard. He had been around a long time, and everyone was more or less in awe of him. But when Philip came to town announcing the good news of God's kingdom and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, they forgot Simon and were baptized, becoming believers right and left. Even Simon himself believed and was baptized. From that moment, he was like Philip's shadow, so fascinated with all of God's signs and miracles that he wouldn't leave Philip's side. Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, preaching the name of Jesus Christ, people baptized, miracles and signs happening. And news traveled. The apostles got wind of what was taking place. Verses 14 to 25. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness. You are poisoned by bitterness. Repent. Perhaps you may be forgiven. Yes, poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You know, a time in history, true history, a time of incredible ministry taking place, the Lord working wondrously, salvation, water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism. The Bible says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And now we come to verses 26 and 27. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. The Lord needed a man, for there was a man in need. The Lord sees each one. The eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the earth. The eyes of the Lord looking for those that are seeking. An angel speaks to Philip and sends him on a mission. This man, Philip, is given a unique opportunity. And thank the Lord, this man was obedient to the call. You see, the Lord was setting things in place, positioning a man of understanding to help a man understand. Verses 27 to 29, "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. You know, this is often how it plays out. A man directed by the Lord to go. The man in obedience makes the journey. No record of the man receiving all the information regarding the mission. The man simply obeys the command to arise and go. And so Philip arrives at the place and he sees a man sitting in his chariot reading. No presumption here. For the Spirit speaks to Philip saying, go near and overtake this chariot. It's crazy if not for the Spirit. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand? Do you understand what you are reading? People of God, when the Spirit says, go near and overtake, start running. You know, I wish I was there that day. Was Philip running alongside the chariot? A man on a spiritual run, a man running in the Spirit with the Spirit. And he hears a sound of reading. And so he calls out to the man, do you understand? Do you comprehend? Do you understand what you are reading? And you know the man's response is so pure. Not trying to pretend like he gets it. The man is honest, humble. This man of great authority and responsibility. Do you understand? Verse 31, and he said, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with them. Reading from the message, the Spirit told Philip, climb into the chariot. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you're reading? He answered, how can I? Without some help. And invited Philip into the chariot with him. This great man knows he needs help. His response is pure, honest, humble. He needs someone to guide him, and so he asks the man, he asks Philip to climb into his chariot. You know, if there is lack of understanding, receive the help the Lord sends your way. Receive the one running in and with the Spirit. Don't pretend. Just be honest. Be humble. Receive the runner and welcome them. Invite them into your chariot. God has sent you help. Verses 32 to 34. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? People of God, let's not be too proud or too afraid to ask for help. An open spirit, a humble spirit, a desirous spirit, a teachable spirit. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. The message, the eunuch said, tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or some other? Philip grabbed his chance. using this passage as his text, he preached Jesus to him. You know, I love it. Philip doesn't look for another text, bringing up another text as a starting point. He takes the text the man is struggling to understand and begins there and preaches Jesus. You see, Philip knew firsthand what happens when Jesus is preached. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. God sent his Son Jesus. He is the perfect, spotless lamb. The sacrificial lamb sent for us to live and to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have right relationship with God again. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Jesus died for you. Jesus took on humiliation for you. His life taken from the earth, but the story doesn't end there. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again in victory. You know, Philip laid it all out. You know, Philip preached the whole package. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, they're driving along in this man's chariot, and the man speaks up. Where was Philip in his preaching? The man was coming to understanding. The man was being affected. The man moved. His eyes opened. And now his eyes laid hold. His eyes lay hold of what he needs next. You know, perhaps he had heard, or had Philip led him to this point, verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" The message, as it continued down the road, they came to a stream of water. The eunuch said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. The Voice Bible, the Ethiopian, "Here's my first question. Is the prophet describing his own situation, or is he describing someone else's calamity?" That began a conversation in which Philip used the passage to explain the good news of Jesus. Eventually, the chariot passed a body of water beside the road. The Ethiopian, "Since there is water here, is there anything that might prevent me from being ceremonially washed through baptism and identified as a disciple of Jesus?" Literally, immersed in a rite of initiation and purification. A man on his way back from pilgrimage in need of understanding. There he is riding in his chariot reading Isaiah. The Lord sends a man of understanding to help this one man understand. And look at how this man responds to the preaching. The message of Jesus into the pattern of the gospel. No coercing. No pressing, no forcing, no convincing. This man's eyes are opened, and he sees his need, and he sees the next step, and he wants to take the next step. This man has made a decision to follow Jesus. This man has made a decision. No turning back. This man is ready, and so he speaks up. See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? You know, one message is all it took. This man couldn't wait. One message is all it took, and this man was signing up. This man wouldn't wait. This man didn't want to miss the moment, so excited, so ready. And the man has a burning question. Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Verses 37 and 38, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. What hinders me? As Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The voice, if you believe in your heart that Jesus, the anointed, is God's son, then nothing can stop you. The Ethiopian said that he believed. He commanded the charioteer to stop the horses. Then Philip and the Ethiopian official walked together into the water. There Philip baptized him, initiating him as a fellow disciple. When they came out of the water, Philip was immediately caught up by the Holy Spirit and taken from the sight of the Ethiopian, who climbed back into his chariot and continued on his journey, overflowing with joy. The message, they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off, and that was the last the eunuch saw of him. But he didn't mind. He had what he'd come for and went on down the road as happy as he could be. You see, it came to the point where the only thing that would hinder the man was the man. But this man wouldn't be hindered, not by pride, not by self, not by fear, not by anything. It only took a section of the road. One man with spiritual understanding helping a man in need of understanding. You know, I wonder if Philip was talking about water baptism at the exact moment the Ethiopian's eyes beheld the waters. Those of understanding, let the Lord use you. Let the Lord use you. Arise and go. Let the Spirit direct you. Like Philip, grab the chance. Those that need understanding, humble self. Spurn pride. Admit the need. Receive God's help. Receive God's helper. If you believe with all your heart, have you believed in Jesus? For yourself, it's a personal decision. Hear these words. Have you believed in Christ for yourselves? It is useless for you to say that you are the sons of pious parents, the daughters of godly fathers and mothers, unless you yourselves believe. Unless you yourselves believe in Jesus, you will be cast down to hell just as surely as will the ungodly descendants of wicked men and women. The faith of your parents may be blessed by God as the means by which you will be brought to Christ. But if you are not brought to Him, all the faith of others cannot avail for your salvation. Though you should have Abraham to be your father and Sarah to be your mother, even then, you could not be saved without your own personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How apt we are who occupy the family pew in the house of God and who, from our infancy, have been brought up to hear the word preached, to imagine that there is a kind of family holiness which may avail for us all. And to conceive that because our parents were Christians, we also are saved. Yet it is not so. There is no such thing as a Christian family sufficient to include you at the last great day, unless you who belong to it are yourselves Christians. And there is no such thing as a Christian nation unless the individuals who compose that nation are all Christians. It's a personal decision, and one we each have to make. To believe on the Lord Jesus, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or to reject Jesus. We go to heaven one by one, if we get there at all. Yes, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. No eyes except your own will avail you in looking to the cross or in weeping over your sin. No other's heart's repentance can take the place of your own heart's godly sorrow from sin. No lips but your own can breathe that prayer on your behalf. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You must be brought to feel your own need of a Savior. You must yourselves be enabled by the Holy Spirit to put your trust in Jesus, or else you will as surely be lost as if you had been born in a Hottentot hut of parents who neither knew nor loved the Lord. If you believe with all your heart, the great prerequisite for salvation, to believe, to put your trust in Christ alone, in Jesus alone, to trust in Him as Savior, to trust in Him as our only hope, to trust in Him as God's answer, to trust in Him as the all-sufficient one, and so to trust in Him, entrusting our lives to Him, following Him every day for all our days until the day we enter into glory. To take His word and to take Him at His word. To be faithful to Him. To remain faithful and loyal, fully devoted to Him. If you believe with all your heart, no turning back. We can have the worship team return today. Notice he didn't say, if you believe with all your head. If you believe with all your heart. He didn't say, if you believe with all your head. Charles Spurgeon said, faith in Christ is never true unless it is the faith of the heart, unless the heart as well as the head gives assent to it, unless the truth is not only believed, but also loved. There is a difference. There is a great difference. And Philip laid it all out that day. And Philip laid it out, the great prerequisite for baptism. If you believe with all your heart, you may. This ordinance, water baptism, is for those that are believers in Christ. Those that, like the Ethiopian, have confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The baptistry is reserved for followers of Christ. Baptism alone does not save us. Baptism is powerful and so very important for the fulfilling of righteousness. However, baptism alone saves no one. Not sprinkling, not full immersion. And the Bible way is full immersion. There is only one fount that saves us. Fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can save us. We must be plunged into this fountain. And now we can enter. Now we can enter into the waters of baptism. Into the baptism pool, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to follow and surrender your life to Him, now you may. I share these words, delivering them to those that have made a decision to follow Christ and have not yet been water baptized. If you are believers and have not been baptized, let me put it to your consciences, whether you think you are right in neglecting this ordinance of Christ. That is a matter for you seriously to think of. It rests between your Savior and your own soul. I pray the Lord to guide us all to a right decision. If we are wrong, may He set us right. And if you are wrong, may He set you right. The prayer of a certain scholar was a very wise one, and I commend it to you. In a great dispute in which he was engaged, he was observed to be frequently writing. So someone said to him, "May I look at your notes?" "Certainly," he replied. When the notes were examined, it was found that they simply consisted of the words, "More light, Lord, more light." I think that is a request which we may present for many of our brethren and certainly for ourselves. More light, Lord. More light. The chariot man, he saw the water and he commanded his chariot stop. The word of the Lord to you today, if you have not yet halted your chariot, halt the chariot, pass by the waters no longer. Don't pass by the waters of baptism any longer. The invitation to sign up, the message of how important this ordinance is. Jesus Christ Himself surrendered to the waters of baptism. A grown man making a decision to follow. Not a decision that was made on a child's behalf, the parent saying, "I want my son or daughter baptized or christened or whatever." No, this man made his own decision because it's a personal decision to follow Jesus. We don't get in any other way. A personal decision to follow Jesus Christ, because the reality is on the last day we will stand before God alone. Single man before God, single woman before God. No opportunity to call grandma. Or quickly think of the person in your family line that had the most faith. Or somebody that donned the doors of the church more often than you did. Somebody that prayed, somebody that loved Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus. We're going to stand before God all alone. I'm going to stand before God all alone. My sons and daughters will stand before God all alone. They have to choose for themselves. We all do. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we all need saving. I could stand here for hours and press the issue. Not trying to convince or coerce anyone. We need Jesus. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're sinners. We need to be saved by grace. Lord, open our eyes. Spirit of God, convict our hearts. Draw us back to you. Draw us to you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand in the house. The candidates prepare. Just lift this up. Praise the name.